Well, we had a wonderful vacation last week, and it was nice to be able to get away and know that Pastor Duane would be able to be somebody who is well loved and be able to give a good message. It's nice to know that between Pastor Duane, Greg, got Pastor Bernie. Some of you would remember Bernie Windmiller. He was an interim pastor here a number of years back. So when I'm going to be gone a couple weeks from now, we've got a family reunion. He's going to be here July 5th. But we had a great vacation, family wedding up in Wisconsin, and a couple days in the Wisconsin Dells, and then came home, and our basement had an inch of water all throughout the basement. The sump pump gave out. So been working hard the last few days, been very blessed by so many of you. Cecil, Carolyn, John, oh my goodness, thank you. And we've gotten so many people loaning us fans and dehumidifiers, and oh my goodness, and John and Linda, thank you. Yeah, so in the midst of all those troubles, all we can say is we are so, so blessed and very thankful to our church family. So all is good, all is good. Well, I'm continuing in a sermon series on the book of Ephesians. Just started with Ephesians 1, we're going through, we're finishing up the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And so throughout this book, it's a wonderful book, and you know, started out where we really were learning about our identity in Christ and who we are, and so powerful to understand in Christ who we are, our identity, and how that completely changes our perspective on how we live our life, how we see our lives. Then we studied about Christ's identity and how awesome Christ is. And the fact that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in us, that is an astounding thought. There's been some amazing jewels as we've gone through Ephesians. And so in chapter 4, Paul has been giving us, and like he often does in his epistles, a lot of great advice about how to live our lives. If we will take this advice, our lives will really be thriving. And so here he's giving some great advice, especially on starting in verse 25 on how we should speak, and we should speak truthfully. And he tells us to put off all falsehood, which, boy, there's a lot of things that fall under that category of falsehood. Any kind of lying, anything that might be deceitful that we might say or do, any kind of anything that would lack integrity. And that's the key concept, I think. And, you know, as Christians in Christ, that should be a trademark for every single one of us. Integrity. That people should be able to say about us, hey, that person shoots straight. That person is honest. That person is truthful. I mean, their yes is a yes, and their no is a no. But you know where you stand with them. They're truthful. They speak truth. And that is the standard that Paul sets. And without the Holy Spirit in us, no, it's not possible. Our human nature, our default, especially when things get tight or tense and I could be getting into trouble, is whether it's a little white lie or a big black lie or a blue or purple or pink lie, you know, is not to be truthful. But when we have the Holy Spirit and when we have that confidence in the Lord, then we can be truthful and we can hold on to integrity. That's what we need to do. Then he goes on in verses 26 to 27 and explains to us how we can handle healthy and have healthy conflict resolution. So when we are angry, what to do? Well, when we are angry, in other words, it's not a sin to be angry. It's when we are angry, then don't sin. Don't let your anger lead you into sin. Oh boy, does it have a tendency to do that. You know, and our enemy, oh, how he loves to exploit those opportunities, those situations when we're angry. Now, I remember the story back in Genesis of Cain and Abel. Well, down there, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but when Paul tells us we're not to allow the devil to get a foothold on us. And I put that verse under there. I cited that verse, Genesis 4:7. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. These were the words of advice that God gave, words of warning that God gave to Cain. God could see he was angry. He was so jealous of his brother Abel, and he was so angry. God saw it coming. And so God said, sin is crouching at your door. It almost like some predator. And a parallel thought or verse would be in 1 Peter, where Peter says, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. You know, the devil is vicious, and sin is that way. It's crouching at your door like this predator, ready to just beat you down, ready to devour you. And so God told him, be careful. And he said, where am I? He said, it desires to have you, but you must master it. The question is, will you master your anger, or will your anger master you? For too many of us, anger, when it really rages, becomes a master over us. We lose control. Now, sometimes losing control can mean we explode. And whether it's a verbal or physical explosion, and oh, how destructive that can be. And the effects can be awful. And I know that many of us understand that. But it's not just explosive anger. Some of us have to be very careful, because there can be the seething anger. And sometimes we can feel really righteous or self-righteous. And I'm holding it in. I'm not exploding. And so maybe you're even thinking, I'm turning the other cheek, but it's seething. And it's like something toxic inside. And oftentimes, what was that old saying? Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will never hurt me. Huh. Yeah. No, words can really hurt, but sometimes the silence is even worse. Anybody ever experienced that? The silent treatment? So sometimes when we are seething, that can be a form of viciousness. You tracking with me? So we have to be very careful in our anger not to sin, whether to explode or to seethe in it. We have to deal with it effectively. So just like I was teaching the kids here, what do? Sometimes you need to step away. I know I do. When I'm seeing red, and I need to make sure that anger doesn't master me. I have to master it. So sometimes I have to step away to just withdraw from the situation. And then you got to stop and pray. I mean, I need divine help in those moments. I cannot do it alone. And sometimes it's more than just divine help, because I need to get some... Sometimes I need advice. Sometimes I can figure it out myself. The day-to-day things that get you frustrated, whatever. But when it's something really awful, maybe you even need to get some advice. But the thing is, step away, stop and pray, think it through. It says you're thinking it through, reasoning it out, and being reasonable, and even getting some wisdom, some advice. Help me to reason this out. And then do what's true, all right? And do something about it. Because if we don't do something about it, one of the worst things we can do is just let the anger simmer, fester, and become a cancer in my heart. And that cancer can be even more destructive than anything else. That cancer can even lead to divorce in a marriage. It can lead to all kinds of horrible things. So do what's true to the Word, what's true to your heart. Okay? Don't betray yourself. All right, it's okay. It's okay. No, don't worry about it. Is that true? Is that being true to yourself? given that person a pass. Sometimes you gotta do what's true. You gotta do what's true to your own heart. Okay? So you really have to manage the conflict well and get it done today. So Paul tells us, don't let the sun go down in your anger. And I would say, as an aside, sometimes that isn't possible, either just because physically I can't get together with that person. It's 11 o'clock at night, my goodness. Even in a marriage, sometimes, I mean, it is 11 o'clock at night, we're getting nowhere with this. Then plan a time the next day. All right, before we go to sleep, though, tomorrow, 9 a.m., 8 a.m., whatever, we are going to sit down and talk this through. All right? But do something about it. Sometimes doing something about it is making a decision like that. And sometimes there's conflict that does prolong. But are you doing today what you need to do to work toward reconciliation? So you need to do what's true. Right? So, healthy conflict resolution. Paul has some great advice there. All right, then he goes on in verse 26, and he starts saying, you know, those who are stealing must steal no longer, but they should work with their hands, and that they would have something for those in need. So it's basically, you know, and whether it's stealing or whatever the sin is, I mean, the essence here is repentance. It's not just stop doing what's wrong, but then filling that void with something that's right. Okay? Oftentimes it's not enough just to desist. I think that's the right word, isn't it? Desist from doing something that's wrong. Now you need to do what's right. Repentance literally means I stop going in the wrong direction, I turn towards God and start going in the right direction. And so the essence of this is, in this case, stop stealing. Start doing something useful with your hands. Work with your hands. And then again, so that you can help those who are in need, so that it would be profitable and edifying for other people. So, simple as that. All right. Now, he starts talking about edifying speech. And I love this verse in verse 29, where he says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. So nothing should pass through these lips that is unwholesome." Unwholesome, let's unpackage that. So no lying, he's already talked about that. You know, nothing, no falsehood should pass through these lips. All right? No coarse joking. He gets into that in other epistles. So, hey, you know, we need to be careful about some of those off-color jokes, things like that. Nothing unwholesome, spiteful, malicious, mean-spirited, nothing unwholesome should come out of this mouth, come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, that which edifies other people, right? That which encourages other people according to their needs. So as you perceive their needs, the way I speak needs to address those needs in a way that is encouraging, that is edifying. And then he says that it may benefit those who listen. And wouldn't that be awesome? Can you imagine? And James tells us that the person who could tame their tongue, if that's possible, would be perfect. The perfect person. Really? Wow. Amazing. I don't know if it's possible, humanly speaking. But again, all things are possible with God. That is our goal. That in everything I say and do, but everything I say, if I am addressing the needs of other people, I'm sensing their needs and offering them words of encouragement, offering them words of blessing, offering them words of that edify and build them up, what kind of a person would I be? What kind of a friend would I be? What kind of a spouse would I be? What kind of a parent would I be if my child or my children were only hearing words that edified? I like in the Spanish version, it says that gives grace to the listener. If all the words that came out of my mouth were saturated with God's grace, wouldn't that be awesome? That person would be an amazing person, wouldn't they? You can be that person. Let me put it to you this way, it's a challenge. Be that person. Allow God's Spirit to so transform your mouth so that everything that comes out gives grace to the listener. Be that person. I love that verse, verse 29. And then he goes on and says that we need to trade malice for compassion. Actually, right before that, verse 30, though, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit who is inside of you. All right? So we're not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit. And that would be an awful thing if I found out, if I became aware that I was grieving God's Spirit. Would that just bum you out? Oh, man. What I'm saying or what I'm doing is just, I mean, you can just imagine God wincing. You know, I'm grieving the Spirit of God. It'd be a horrible thing. I want to avoid that, right? Okay, so speak truthfully. Speak truth. And let nothing unwholesome come out of your mouths, because that would grieve the Holy Spirit. What else grieves the Holy Spirit? Malicious words and actions. And so he goes on with verses 29 and 30. And he speaks about it. Verse 31. So we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit with whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. All these forms of malice. So whether it's malicious talk, malicious actions, when we have malice in us, when our heart's intentions toward others are evil, are hurtful, are spiteful, oh, how that just grieves God's Spirit. And so Paul just says, get rid of it. I mean, if the hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If the eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If the tongue causes you to sin, bite it off. I said a while back, you know, we ought to have bloody mouths oftentimes because we're biting our tongue so often. Because so that we don't say the hurtful thing. Alright? So just get rid of this malice that would be within us. Instead, then, verse 32, instead of that, so if we're going to get rid of that in repentance, what should I fill that void with? Kindness, compassion, forgiveness. Yeah. So as I get rid of these, I take on these. As I get rid of my sinful behaviors, I clothe myself with Christ, walk toward God, and now what comes out of this mouth are words of kindness, words of compassion, and words of forgiveness. And I want to challenge you again. As you're listening, I mean, is there somebody you're angry with or you've been angry with for a long time? We started, you know, some of the earlier verses with anger. And then we end here with forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge. And, you know, if we are not to give the devil a foothold, I'll tell you what, the lack of forgiveness is a huge, it's not just giving the devil a foothold. It is giving the devil just a wide open door to invade and with destructive force. And I have heard it from a number of sources, people who deal with spiritual warfare, even like exorcisms and dealing with people who are possessed by demons and everything. And when you ask them, how did that begin? In so many cases, I'll tell you, it was the lack of forgiveness. Lack of forgiveness so lets the devil in. I mean, in some cases, don't get freaked out by this, please, but in some cases it can even lead to possession. But, you know, and if you have God's Spirit, that cannot be, okay? All right? So be at peace. But still, if we have lack of forgiveness, bitterness and resentment in us, oh, we are just giving the devil this huge open door to just do destructive, horrific things in our lives, and the ripple effects lead out to the lives of others, even hurting those we love most. So is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone with whom you are angry? You need to do something about it. So Think on that one. Think on that one. And I think that's where I want to end the sermon, because, again, I just want to place such high importance on that. And Jesus said, if you are not willing to forgive other people, God won't be willing to forgive you. This is how important forgiveness is. So Paul ends with that advice in verse 32. Trading bitterness and malice for kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. That is how we should live our lives. That's the message that Paul is trying to get through here. It's a wonderful message, and if we will take it and live it out, we will thrive. Our lives will be wonderful. Praise God, may it be so. Amen.